Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
97.1 FM Talk.
On demand audio.
I thought this was an incredible speech, honestly. And truly, watching Donald Trump indict these gangsters to their faces while they had to sit right in front of him in that intimate setting in the rotunda for Republicans was remarkable. They had to sit there and take it just minutes after Biden, who we're looking at here, pardoned his entire family. I mean, it was glorious. By the way, I love the rotunda setting. I thought it was regal. I thought it was awesome.
Yeah, it was exclusive, that's for sure, for all of us who wanted to see him get sworn in but couldn't. But to Scott Jennings' point, what Donald Trump did was stupendous. It took guts to stand up there with Joe Biden and Kamala Harris and Barack Obama and Bill and Hillary sitting back there squirming in their seats when he indicted their ludicrous policies right in front of them. And there was nothing they could do about it. Let's get to former Senator John Lamping, who I know probably enjoyed that as much as I did yesterday. John, how are you?
I'm doing great, Mark. Kim, yeah, it was a magnificent day. I'm so happy for the country. It's amazing to think that we managed to survive these 4 years. I always thought we would. We had it in us, but it was one hell of a difficult 4 years, day in, day out. This feeble old demented man lying straight to our faces while all his minions were enacting policies to take down this country. And for Trump to have the opportunity to speak to all those issues in front of those clowns as they're making their way out of the Capitol, I think, was just phenomenal.
I would agree. Now, to Jennings' point about the pardons, I mean, obviously, Donald Trump came in and pardoned a lot of people that I believe were wrongfully convicted or overcharged or whatever you want to call it surrounding January 6th. But when you preemptively pardon someone, I mean, I was reading up on a Supreme Court case dating back to like 1913, and it said basically somebody has to accept a pardon for it to be valid, and if they do, it is an admission of guilt.
Yeah, I read the same precedent. Biden himself has suggested that to be pardoned, to accept a pardon, is an admission of guilt. Of course they're guilty. They're all guilty. We all know what they've been doing. My hope now is that that the federal prosecutors find something else to indict them, or a different time period, but more likely it's the state's attorney generals that can now look at these pardons and go after these people at the state level. You know, I know at the federal level too, they've lost their Fifth Amendment rights. The people that have been pardoned for federal crimes. So when they're called to testify, they can't hide behind Fifth Amendment rights. And if they refuse to testify, then they can be held in contempt of court, which would be a new crime. And contempt of court can involve jail time itself. You know, so much winning yesterday. I caught something kind of late in the day. An old friend of Missouri, a good friend of mine, Ed Martin, was named the interim U.S. attorney for D.C., which is in charge of the J6 prosecutors. And I don't know, prosecution. I don't know if you saw overnight where the jail, the holding cell in D.C. itself won't release the J6 prisoners. It's been rumored to be physically abusing them. And I think that would be Ed Martin's perfect first case to go after those people in charge of that prison. Now, there's so many things that we can go after. There's so much illegal activities, corrupt activities that went on these past, I would say, 5 years. It's, you know, when we look back at Biden, the candidate, he was a demented, feeble old man before he even became president and became the more demented, feeble old man. There's so much to do. And as much as the administration is going to go forward and implement change, I think it's just as important that people like Ed Martin come in behind and prosecute all the wrongdoings that occurred these past 4 years.
Now, John Lamping with us this morning. John, I thought I had Ed on here a couple weeks ago, and he had been appointed like chief of staff for the Office of Management and Budget. Is it so? There's been a change.
I saw that too. But Mike Davis, who's a big part of the legal team behind the Trump campaign. He tweeted that out yesterday, and I saw yesterday it was reported by the mainstream media. So, yeah, he was appointed to that chief of staff position, but he's now been named the interim, the interim U.S. attorney. And I know Ed personally had been doing what he could do to help the J6ers these past, you know, 3 or 4 years as they wallow away in prison.
Wow.
To actually make him the U.S. attorney, to give him prosecutorial capacity to go back into the system and prosecute. Because, you know, there's a lot of people that didn't get pardoned. And there's as much as, I mean, think about how unprecedented the pardons were. The fact that they actually pardoned the staffers to the J6 committee just speaks volumes to the fact that it was a false flag special op that J6 was. It was a lie, like so much of the Biden presidency was. And as much as I'd like to see us move forward, I also think that these people have to pay a price.
Yeah, good.
I know minutes after Trump was sworn in, there was a lawsuit filed against Doge, and they're saying that they need to be basically official cabinet members. Then you have Vivek Ramaswamy coming out and saying he's no longer going to be part of that, that instead he's going to run for governor of Ohio. They're trying to start a similar effort, like a Moj in Missouri. What do you make of all of this happening?
Well, my understanding with Doge is Doge doesn't have power. Doge is just there to consult. It's like taking advice from a business consultant. Like, this is where you might go do what you might do. So I think that's so Doge doesn't have, I don't think Doge needs to be Senate approved. They don't have power. That's
right.
The thing about it. All the other governmental agencies, the people that head the agencies are the cabinets. They actually have a certain amount of power. They speak for the country. This is like an internal consultant is what Doge is positioned as. Moj could be the same way. I think Vivek, it was time for Vivek to go. He tweeted out a few weeks ago about how there's issues with our culture, our education culture, our inability as Americans to have the discipline, self-discipline enough to be at the forefront of education and leaders in different fields. And I think it was after that tweet, Vivek had little to nothing to say.
Yeah.
And we wish him well. Anyone be better than DeWine in Ohio as governor. But you can see that the Trump's not messing around. Like, last, you think about it, he did more in that first 3 hours than he did in the first 3 months last time. Last time he was surrounded by Bush people. This time he's surrounded by mega people. And he's going to have no tolerance for people that aren't in his team that aren't in line. And how wonderful was it to see, you know, our very, very good friend of Missouri, Will Scharf, handing to the president time and time again all those executive orders, all those pardons. It'll be very fun to watch Will in this position. You know, keep in mind, this is a position that Supreme Court Justice Kavanaugh held at one point in his career. This is a great next step. You know, God has a plan. Will didn't win the attorney general's primary, but I'm much happier to see Will where he is today.
Yeah, it was pretty funny. We're watching that yesterday, both on the stage at Capital One Center and then back in the White House. And I overheard Brett Baer as he was covering it live saying, these are being handed to him by that guy who's announcing. Like, he had no idea who Will Scharf was, so I guess they'll eventually learn. But it was funny for all of us who know Will. We had him on the show so many times when he was running for attorney general to be literally at the president's right hand.
Mm-hmm.
It's even more than that. Like, in his role, Will's the one who decides who the president sees.
Yes.
When the meeting is called, who gets invited, who sits where they sit, who gets to be in the decision-making process. You might think it's the president, but the president says to Will, this is what I want to get accomplished, and Will's the one who decides who needs to be at the meeting to accomplishment. I mean, he is he's the most powerful gatekeeper in the world, and we know him so well. I met Will way back when Greitens beat Catherine Hanaway the week after. He was working with Catherine. The week after that, I sat down and had coffee with Will. He ultimately worked inside the Greitens camp, the administration, his policy chief, and then later went on to do what he did. And there's just so many wonderful things going on in D.C., and that, not least of which is Will Scharf being in charge of who the president sees day in, day out.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome. I'm hoping he can do some media interviews here at some point, but they may keep a pretty tight lid on that. We'll see. John, thank you, my friend, as always.
Great to be with you both. Talk to you soon.
You bet. Thanks for your insight this morning. We appreciate that.
Get more at 971talk.com.